Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Captain Hunter's Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. I truly appreciate all the love and support that I've been getting so far. Today's episode, we have a good one for you. We're going to be talking about women in law enforcement, lady police officers, lady officers, female enforcers, however you want to phrase it or word it. That's what our subject for today's episode is. Thank you for tuning in, and I'm hoping to have a good one. Today, we're going to have something special for you. I have two dynamic women in law enforcement. This is the first time that I'm actually going to have special guests on, so I'm looking forward to a great conversation. As I was doing some research for this particular topic, I came across an article from the University of San Diego. Just wanted to kind of read that to you just a little bit. It gives three different reasons why women should be police officers or women should be in law enforcement. First reason is women officers are less likely to use excessive force. This is quoting from The Atlantic. Women officers are less likely to use excessive force or pull their weapon. They are defendants in lawsuits far less often than men, saving municipalities millions in legal fees. Second reason is women officers are skilled at addressing violence against women and sex crimes. For example, with sexual assault cases, the victim might want to talk to a woman, but that can't always happen because there aren't enough females in the department and it ends up affecting the mission. And the third reason, women officers can help improve police community relations. Studies have shown that female officers are less authoritarian in their approach to policing, less reliant on physical force, and are more effective communicators. So if we want to bring the communities and officers, police departments and officers together, then I think that one of the biggest ways, according to this article and even in my own time and experience as a police officer, is to have more women on the department. I know that the police has traditionally been a very male-oriented, male-dominated line of work, and so that's certainly changing in 2019. So that's what we want to focus on today, is how we can continue that effort and build strong communities and partnerships with the police department. So I'm looking forward to a great episode, great conversations for today. We have two different officers. First officer is from my old stomping grounds in the Waterbury Police Department, Detective Roz Ramirez. He is a 22-year veteran. And from the Naugatuck Police Department in Connecticut, we have Alexia Castro, who was recently promoted to the rank of sergeant in July of 2019. So we're looking forward to those great conversations. I'd like to thank Chief Fred Spagnolo of the Waterbury Police Department and Chief Stephen Hunt of the Naugatuck Police Department for allowing their officers to do this episode. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. First up is Detective Rosalyn Ramirez of the Waterbury Police Department. Hello, Roz, and thank you for coming on the show. Please tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Well, for those that don't know me, my name is Rosalyn Ramirez. I am a Waterbury Police Detective, been on the job for 22 years. I'm a Puerto Rican that was born and raised in Hartford, Connecticut. I grew up in the Charter Oak Housing Project, graduated from Buckley High School. I went to New Haven to Southern Connecticut State University. I got myself a bachelor's science degree in corporate communication, which was basically concentrating in television and radio broadcasting.
Oh, wow. So you should be interviewing me for this podcast. No. Oh, that's awesome. I really did not know that about you. Okay, that's awesome. That's good. And so you're married and you have a couple of kids, is that right?
Yeah, I got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. They keep me on my toes. Been married 22 years. But I got married just before I got on the job.
Okay. Nice. I remember when your kids were born, you and I obviously worked together at Waterbury Police Department. Why don't we just talk about that since we're on this topic? How was that? You were married when you came on the job, then you had babies, children while you're on the job. How was that whole experience?
It was challenging at first. I mean, I worked, I did 11 years working third shift, kid-free, running around, working extra hours, traveling, doing spur-of-the-moment activities and getaways. A couple of years after being a detective, my husband and I, you know, were like, all right, it's time for some kids. And, you know, when beautiful children, 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, get, you know, it's a little hectic. But I was fortunate. I had some time, you know, accumulated, and I used my family medical leave so I can actually spend some quality time getting acquainted, especially as a new parent, with each child. So just a little running around, and family helps out quite a bit. It was challenging at first because it's, you know, it's an adjustment, when you're going from no children to, you know, one child and then running around and a couple years later, again, another child. And then you're just trying to coordinate schedules and work and home life.
But you're doing it. And that's important. That's really good. That's good. Have you always wanted to be a police officer?
No, I, like I said, I went to school for television and radio broadcasting. I interned and worked at a Spanish radio station in Hartford for some time. I worked as a marketing agent, so I sold airtime to businesses. I created the ads that were on the air. You know, I read the news, I DJed a little bit. And then at some point, that wasn't enough for me. I went into a nonprofit youth organization called LEAP, Leadership, Education, and Athletics in Partnership in New Haven. They offered me a salary job. So I was there for some time, and it wasn't until my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, told me, like, hey, is Waterbury and a couple other places, they're hiring for police officers. Why don't you give it a shot? So I started studying, and I trained. I tested at two agencies, and I did well. And I just continued pursuing Waterbury since I was already in town as a resident. So, and here I am 22 years later.
Wow, okay. That's good. That's really good.
Yeah, so it definitely wasn't anything that I had dreamed about. And some people was like, yeah, I dreamed about it all my life. No, the reality was, you know, financially, it was a path that would improve my lifestyle and help pay the bills. And it sure has all the years and some. So, yeah, it just, you know, did a detour and here I am.
So do you think that your past experience as far as your DJing and all the things you did for LEAP and all your past experiences have helped to enhance your career, even your degree? Has all that helped you on your path right now?
It has helped me. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about who the person that you are. People want to feel comfortable talking when they come to talk to an officer. A lot of times they're coming to us with very deep issues. They're hurt in some way, whether they were, you know, defrauded or, you know, victims of a crime. They want to feel comfortable talking to people. But, you know, I worked in nonprofit with youth, underprivileged youth, and also, you know, working in the office with the staff and being out and about. My lifestyle, where I grew up in the projects. You know, so there were some issues, you know, some gang violence in the neighborhood growing up, seeing that. So it kind of builds a person up. So when you come into being an officer, you want to be able to have some sort of perspective on the people that are coming for help and be able to guide them in the right direction. Yeah. So I think just my upbringing and all my life decisions, I think, is obviously, yes, I believe it has helped me.
That's good to hear. So your current assignment right now is a detective, right? Are you still in the youth squad?
Yes, I'm in the youth division. I initially started in the Criminal Investigations Bureau, and I am in the youth division now. So I'm working with the schools during the school year. I'm in and out of schools for all sorts of issues that could be brought in at the school level. And even for after hours or like now for the summer session, other issues that come up involving the youth and families that need help with whatever, you know, dealings they have going on, crisis with their kids at home or kids that they're working with for other adults.
Okay, nice. So how are you treated? Have you ever noticed any difference between how male officers have treated you because you're female? Have you noticed any differences?
I think when I first got on, guys could have been standoffish and just kind of not know me, so trying to feel me out, didn't know what to expect. Mind you, I'm 5 feet tall. I'm not the tallest of the women on the department. So I know there were guys that, and they, some of them have confessed later on how they were doubting that I was even going to be able to put up with the job. So some of them were like, oh boy, here comes somebody I got to worry about backing up on a call to do the job for her because she's not big enough or strong enough. But, once we've been out on calls and seen, they've been able to see right off the bat, you know, how I handled myself and how I was able to manage talking with people, and dealing with people that I can do the job. Anyone can do the job. It's just a matter of sometimes it's the approach. You know, sometimes, you know, there's issues because you have people that have vices and other issues going on in their lives. When sometimes when we're dealing with folks in the public, overall, I think I've been received well over the years. I have nothing but good things to say.
Yeah, that's good. And I can tell you that, number one, I think it's good that guys actually came up to you and confessed whatever they thought. I think that's good. And the second part is I think that everyone goes through some type of testing period. I can remember when I first came on, you know, guys just were a little standoffish because they want to know if you can handle the job. And like you said, once they see you in one or two calls and how you interact with people, and especially that first time that you get into the mix, as long as you're in the mix with them, then they'll respect you after. And that goes for male or female.
Correct.
So that's good.
That's correct. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You want to know that someone has your back if there's a situation that I'm not just going to avoid going to help or, you know, not get my hands in the mix or helping mediate a situation. So
in preparation for this podcast, I was reading through some stuff and I came across this article from San Diego State University. It says sandiego.edu. And it says why we need more women working in law enforcement. And so I just read just a little bit about this and gave three different points. The first point is women officers are less likely to use excessive force. And it quotes a bunch of different articles. The second point is women officers are skilled at addressing violence against women and sex crime. And the third point that they gave is women officers can help improve community relations. Do you agree with these sentiments? What would you say?
I agree for a lot of that. For the non-aggression aspect, I'm a big proponent for folks to women to enroll in self-defense classes. Not only helps build confidence on and off the job, but it's a matter of being aware of your surrounding and trying to keep yourself safe. But I rarely have had to engage in some sort of physical contact other for, you know, other people not trying to get arrested, but a lot of times talking down, it's a matter of the approach that I take. I don't want to be fighting. I want to go home just like anyone else. And if I can do it without engaging in physical violence, I'm going to try my best, you know. So a lot of times it's in being able to talk to people and being sympathetic, being respectful. That goes a long way with folks. Sometimes, you know, yeah, they got issues, but, you know, being spoken to in a respectable manner, sometimes that just clicks for people. For people that are victims of crime, they want a sympathetic ear, someone that's going to listen to them. And absolutely, a lot of the women can do that. I mean, there are some men that do well with that, but some guys, I feel sometimes they hesitate. I got to remind them, hey, you got to, you know, talk to folks that would. You got children, there's got to be siblings or other people that you can relate to that when you're at work, you just put yourself in that mindset. So I don't know if it's like the motherly instinct that kicks in for being sympathetic, but a lot of the women on our job do very well in speaking with people for a lot of the crimes that they've been exposed to.
I got you. And in my experience, I would agree with all those sentiments as well. So I can remember a few times that even when I was a supervisor, I would try to have a female officer interact with someone, particularly another female, a female victim, because she may be emotional, even a lot of times with little kids, because they are looking for that sympathy, that emotion, that connectedness, that motherly instinct, if you will, as you put it. So I certainly agree with that. And I think that women in law enforcement are definitely an asset, which is why I'm doing this podcast, because I think that more women should join law enforcement. So I certainly thank you for your time. Just as a wrap up, is there anything that you would like to say to any female out there who is on the fence about law enforcement? How would you get them to join? What would you say to them?
I encourage more women to give it a shot because it can be a career opportunity. A lot of us, we've started as officers, but some of them have become instructors, investigators, supervisors. There's opportunities here, and even after law enforcement, there are other careers that kind of veer off of this after you've done some time here. That it's just it builds your resume into so many other things that you can do even after law enforcement. So I really encourage it. I mean, 22 years, and I thank God that I've been blessed with a lot of things. And definitely, I encourage all women to give it a try. Like I said, this isn't something I dreamed about doing, and here I am, and I'm still working it.
Right.
So it's an opportunity that, I mean, you won't know unless you try and you get on the job training.
Right.
I mean, so you got to at least give it a shot and try it.
Right.
Like I said, I've been blessed, and, you know, I really encourage, and a lot of the women that I've been working with, they bring a lot of skills to the table. Yeah,
well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And we all know that if something happens to you, you always have that DJing career to fall back on. All right. Thank you, Detective Ramirez. Thank you so much for your time. And
you have a great afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Next up is Sergeant Alexia Castro. Please excuse the sound quality. For some reason, there was some kind of static or going on in the background. But anyway, here we go. Please enjoy the interview.
I'd like to welcome my special guest, Sergeant Alexia Castro of the Naugatuck Police Department. Hello, Sergeant Castro. How are you?
Good. How are you, Captain?
Good, good. As I said, when we arranged this appointment, I wanted to really kind of talk about female law enforcement officers. And the reason I want to talk about that is because, number one, I believe in diversity.
I think a police department should be reflective of
its citizens. If a community has a large Hispanic population or a large Black population, then obviously I think that they should have a large or at least a fair representation of whatever population is there. And that includes female, right? So we ought to have female officers. Another reason why I wanted to kind of go through this is because I was talking to my daughter's friend who wants to be a doctor, and she was really concerned about what kind of strain that would post on her life. As far as family life and everything like that, the amount of education she had to go through. Of course, I'm trying to tell her, listen, you got to follow your dreams, your hopes and desires and all that kind of stuff. But she was just kind of hesitant. I thought about that and I said to myself, if she is hesitant about being a doctor, then how many other people may be hesitant about law enforcement? Maybe they don't think it's for them and things like that. So that's
one.
Yeah, once again, I think that it's really important. Sergeant Castro, why don't you tell us about yourself?
Well, I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. I moved to Waterbury, Connecticut when I was 16 years old with my parents. Our landlord was selling the house, so we had to do something. So my parents decided to move to Connecticut because it was cheaper. So when I moved here, I actually went to Crosby High School, and I graduated from there in 2009. I went on to Naugatuck Valley Community College, and I graduated there with my associates. And in transitioning to Central for my bachelor's, I was actually called by Naugatuck, and then I was hired by them in 2012. So I put my education on hold to actually start my career. I've been with Naugatuck for now almost 7 years. So I spent most of my career on patrol, being an FTO, doing the traffic unit, just getting involved in a lot of different areas of the police department. So I was promoted in July 2018 as a detective, the Juvenile and Special Investigations Bureau. I've investigated missing persons, sexual assaults, juvenile complaints, all of those types of incidents. More recently, now I'm transitioning to my position as a sergeant.
Nice. Okay. So you've been with them for 7 years. 7 years.
Yeah, I've been with them for 7 years.
Okay. Nice. And so your role before a sergeant, you said part of that role was an FTO. Could you explain what that is?
An FTO is field training officer. So once we're hired as police officers, we go to the academy. Once you pass the academy, you come back to your respective police department. And only FTOs are allowed to train the new officers that are hired. So you take them through the ropes of, you know, learning policy and procedure, learning what to do on different calls, learning how to write reports, and just what to do on the job, pretty much.
Okay. So you started out in the police academy, as all officers do. Is there any difference in the training between male officers and female officers?
No. Well, I'll take that back, partially. The only difference was the physical requirements when you do your exit physical to go back to your police department, or actually to graduate from the academy. Women have, I want to say, we had to run a mile and a half, do a certain amount of push-ups, sit-ups, and then a sit and reach. At the time when I was in the academy, so sit and reach is no longer a part of the test. But there are different requirements for men and for women. Other than that, though, you still have to pass the same classes, take the same tests,
Okay. You were raised in Brooklyn, New York, and moved to the great city of Waterbury. So, how did your family take to you wanting to be a police officer?
Well, I am the only person in my family that was ever involved in law enforcement. So at first, my parents, well, my mom more so, wasn't thrilled. When we were in New York, my dad, he was a part of like their cadet program out there, but then he never became a cop. He ended up being a paralegal. So my mom, it was a bit of a culture shock going from the academy, you know, my parents actually seeing me on the weekend, seeing me during the day, to working the midnight shift where my mom is sleeping, probably barely sleeping at the time until I got home in the morning and she knew that I was fine or that I was safe. So, but then over time she got used to it.
And they're good with it now, right? I mean, they're obviously proud of you, Sergeant. They're obviously proud of your accomplishments now, though, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you always wanted to be a police officer?
No.
Okay.
No, and I'm laughing, and I'll get to why I'm laughing in a minute. But no, when I was growing up in Brooklyn, we grew up in an apartment building. I don't come from money, single parent home. I say my dad, but it's my stepdad, but he raised me since I was 4 years old. So kind of, my mom, I like to say my mom was different because she didn't want to always be in that situation. So she got us out of that situation even before moving to Waterbury, Connecticut. So,
what drew you to law enforcement? Was it the uniform? Is it protecting people? What drew you into
it? No. So I'll get back to my point that I was trying to make before.
Okay.
Growing up in the project, law enforcement was not viewed in a positive light, so to speak. So I never thought in my wildest dreams that I was going to become a police officer. But then when we moved to Waterbury, Connecticut, I met my fiance. We actually went to Crosby together. He went away for college and came back, and then we ended up going to Knoxville Valley together. He was actually in the process with going through like application processes for like New Haven, Waterbury. And then as I'm helping him study, I'm like, oh, I think I can do this job. I think this is something that I can do, you know, helping him answer oral board questions or scenarios, and I'm answering them too. And he's like, how did you know that those were the answers to the book? I'm like, I don't know. It just made sense to me. It's not that I knew, you know, the answers to the book. I just thought it was common sense and logic. So he was actually the one that put me onto the path of being a police officer.
Oh, okay. Could you talk a little bit more about, you know, you said you grew up in the projects in New York. And sometimes as a minority, as you are, as well as myself, there is this negative light that law enforcement has. Could you talk a little bit about that and what your experiences were growing up?
We live in a big project area, high-rise complex, high-rise buildings, you know, 20-something stories high. We have the little courtyards connecting each of the buildings. So every time the police got called, they were breaking up a fight. There was a shooting going on. You know, just to see how the police interacted with, let's face it, these ghettos are filled with minority groups. Just the way they interacted with, you know, black men, because most of the time they were black men, Hispanic men. It wasn't viewed as positive. You know, they're, you know, roughing them up, throwing them to the ground. Well, you know, granted, they're doing shootings and things like that, but just the way they interacted with them, it just wasn't positive. Being a police officer was never in the forefront for me.
I got you. I can certainly identify. I grew up in the inner city of Waterbury, and I certainly saw a lot of the interaction between law enforcement and the communities that they were supposed to be serving and protecting. So I certainly do understand what you're saying. How do you feel today? I mean, I know that there's a lot going on with viral videos. Obviously, you are law enforcement. You see a different side of the coin. How do you feel about the interactions today?
I feel like interactions, you know, have improved. I feel like the videos that we see and, you know, the commentary that we hear from the public, that is very few and far between, even though it seems to be the majority right now.
Right.
But that's all that's getting reported.
Right.
So it is, you know, that is the minority. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen, because there's always one bad apple or always a few bad apples, but I'm not saying that there aren't police officers that are still, you know, disrespecting minorities or talking down to them. I'm just saying that the police officers that I work with, you know, they are good guys. They are good people, whether they're black, white, you know, Hispanics. We're pretty diverse. And, you know, for our size police department in Knoxville, we've got a pretty good mix
of officers down there. So, you know, for the most part, our guys are really respectful. You know, we wear body cameras if anyone ever wants to dispute that.
Okay, good.
So there's also, you know, that aspect of it.
Good. And do you think that body cameras help as far as public perception and or accountability, things like that, police legitimacy?
I like body cameras. I've been there for 7 years, and for 7 years we've had body cameras, so I don't know anything different. I, you know, didn't have to transition from at one point not wearing it to wearing one.
Right.
So I like body cameras, and to be honest with you, I think that if you're doing your job the right way, a camera shouldn't change how you're doing your job.
I agree with that.
It should just show that we're doing our job the right way.
Right.
And I've had a few complaints made against me, and the body cameras actually, like, cleared my name. So the complaints went nowhere.
Okay, good.
So
that's good to hear. How have you been treated? When I first came on, you know, back in Dinosaurs Roam the Earth, I came on in 1995, majority white, police department in Waterbury, obviously majority male.
Right.
You know, I was treated a certain way. It was not terrible. I got to say, it was not terrible. The same experiences that you're experiencing today, back in 1995, 96, when I came on, I was not treated terribly. Let me put that out there. But how were you treated as a female? And you are Hispanic, right? Puerto Rican.
Yes.
How have you been treated?
I don't feel like I've been treated any differently by my coworkers, even when I first came in. I feel like they treated me like how they would treat any new officer. Like, you know, they're trying to feel you out. So at first, if they don't really talk to you, or if they talk to you, it's just, you know, like a hi, or until you get into like a fight or somewhere where you need to prove yourself. And once they see that you can fight and you can do whatever you need to do on the call, then they're fine. But I never felt like it was, oh, she's a woman, or oh, she's Hispanic, we need to treat her differently.
Right. Well, that's good to hear. And yes, there is always that moment of truth, right? Nobody's going to trust you until you are actually in the mix and they know you can.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's just the way it goes. That's the way it goes.
That's male, female, you know, black, white, that doesn't matter. That's just police world, you know?
Yeah. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, any job, you have
no.
to be able to prove what you have to prove your worth, and law enforcement's no different.
Right. If, and I was gonna say, if anything, they really haven't treated me any differently. Our previous chief, that he was here for, you know, most of my years, he was a white male, and he was probably one of the most encouraging people. You know, you could run this place one day, you could be chief one day too. Well, like, you should go back to school, you know, encouraging, try to put me down the right path to set up my career. So he was always helping me do the next thing.
Well, that's awesome. That's good to hear. It's good to hear that any boss is really not intimidated and willing to push their employees, male, female, black, white, whatever, to go further. And I think that that's,
right.
I think that's always awesome to hear. You have to be able, any good, competent supervisor, and as you enter into your sergeant stage, supervisor career, I would say this, that you have to be able to train your replacements. If you hold all the information, all the wisdom, all the knowledge to yourself, then you are doing a disservice to your organization, you know, not to the police department, to the citizens, and to the next group of potential employees. You have to give that knowledge out.
Right.
So
that's very important.
Even before the exam where I was promoted, I wasn't going to take this exam until obviously I had a conversation with my fiance. Well, more importantly, I had a conversation with our current chief. He's like, you know, I hope that you're taking this upcoming sergeant's exam. I think that you're someone that we need to have as a supervisor here. So both chiefs that I've had in my 7 years are very, you know, encouraging and very forward thinking, or at least, you know, at least encouraging toward me.
Yes. Well, again, that's good to hear, and it's great to hear. I assume that Naugatuck has had female sergeant supervisors before. I don't know much about the department.
Right now, well, before I got promoted, we have one detective sergeant that's a female, and one sergeant on the midnight shift that's a female. And in total, we have 7 females right now, whether they be patrolmen or supervisors.
So 7 females total in the department as a whole?
Yes.
And how many members, how many males? I mean, how big is the department?
We're just under 60.
It's just under 60. 7 of them are females. I don't know. I can't do math that fast. It's probably like 1.
Yeah, so about like 53. So I don't know how 1 in however many. I'm not sure how many that is. But
yeah, probably like 1/5 or 1/6 or somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. 7 of them are females. 7 females and 2. Now you're the third sergeant. Did I hear that right? You're the third?
Yes.
OK. Okay.
Yep. And three out of the seven are supervisors.
So I would say the Naugatuck's doing something right, right? They're hiring females, and seriously, and they're yeah. hiring smart ones, right? Who can move up the chain, and it shows what right. females can do. So that's awesome. That's good to hear. We'll kind of wrap this up now. I certainly appreciate your time, but what encouraging words would you give to any prospective officer out there, any female who's thinking about law enforcement, kind of sitting on the fence, doesn't really know if it's for them, doesn't really know if they want to get their nails dirty or whatever. What would you say to encourage them to think about law enforcement as a career?
Well, I would definitely recommend doing a ride along. Naugatuck does ride along. You just have to fill out a little, just an application. So we do ride alongs for the public. So I would definitely suggest doing a ride along and see what patrol life is like. But don't let that law enforcement or being a police officer or, you know, the thin blue line, the whole blue world here, it's predominantly men. But I want to say the majority of the men in this field understand that women have a place in law enforcement and that it's not only going to be, you know, quote unquote, a man's world anymore. So I would definitely encourage them to do ride-alongs, research, you know, different types of departments. You know, and if you do know anyone in law enforcement, reach out and talk to them. Don't be intimidated by the men.
Okay. Final question here. Can you tell us, now you said you've been on the job for 7 years and you have a child, is that right?
Yeah, I have a son. Yeah, my son's going to be four.
Okay, so he's going to be four. So I assume that he was born while you were on the job, is that correct?
Yes. Yep. Okay. I think I was there for maybe 3 years or going on 3 years.
And so the department gave you maternity leave. How was that experience in case anybody's thinking about their family life and having children and things like that?
It was not nearly as bad as anyone would think it would be. The deputy chief at the time, his wife they're both in law enforcement. So at the police department that she worked, he said that they gave her a hard time so that he wanted to make this experience for me nothing like what she experienced. And wow. He absolutely did that. And he kept his word. So it was very easy. All I needed to do was, you know, proof of pregnancy, just going through the kind of red tape and all that stuff. And then he said, whenever you want to start light duty, you let me know. And I was down in records from, I think I was like 3.5, almost 4 months pregnant. And I was in records, you know, completed my FMLA paperwork. FMLA is unpaid in Connecticut, so obviously I have to use my time in order to get paid. But that's standard, you know, that wasn't something that they imposed on me.
Right.
You know, but the experience, very easy, very easy.
Well, that's encouraging to hear that particular story, because some people can have very negative experiences as far as the departments and not giving them time off. Thank goodness for FMLA, they won't give them light duty and make them burn their time and stay home and all that kind of stuff. And it's good that your right. deputy chief saw the need for this and decided to do something different. And I think that right. more supervisors.
His words exactly were, I think women's value in law enforcement far outweighs, you know, you taking a year off to have a child. So that was encouraging.
Well, it sounds as if your chief now and your former deputy chief are really, really good people who understand the value of their employees, number one, female employees, number two. I give a lot of credit to them, and that's really awesome to hear. And I hope that more officers and more management will hear that and take that to heart and think like that. I'll give you the last word. Is there anything you'd like to say? I certainly appreciate your time and thank you for your service, and I congratulate you on your new career as you go forward. Is there anything you'd like to say to wrap up?
Just thank you for having me on the podcast, and for any of the ladies out there that are looking to get into law enforcement, just do it. It's a great career. It's definitely rewarding if that's something that you want to get into. And just don't be intimidated.
Excellent. Thanks. I certainly appreciate it. And that's it for now. Goodbye.
Just as a point of clarification, during the interview with Detective Ramirez, I said article was from San Diego State University. That was incorrect. The actual article was from the University of San Diego, not San Diego State University. Once again, I'd like to say thank you to Chief Fred Spagnuolo of the Waterbury Police Department, Chief Stephen Hunt of the Naugatuck Police Department. Thank you to my guests, Detective Rosalind Ramirez and Sergeant Alexia Castro. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode.
If you did, please drop me a line. Let me know what I'm doing right. Let me know what I'm doing wrong. You can hit me up at Twitter, CPTL Hunter. That's Captain L Hunter, CPTL Hunter. I'm also on Instagram, CPTL Hunter. You can hit me up at HunterPoliceConsulting@gmail.com. HunterPoliceConsulting@gmail.com. The website is HunterPoliceTraining.com. HunterPoliceTraining.com. Hit me up and let me know what you think. Let me know what you like and what you don't like, what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong. If you'd like to be on the podcast, if you know a woman who's in law enforcement, or you think about entering into law enforcement, or if you had a great story to tell, then hit me up and I'll put you on the episode. I'd like to do this type of episode more often just to get more ladies interested in law enforcement. I'm looking forward to hearing your feedback. If you'd like to be on a program to talk about this subject or any other subject, just hit me up. We'll make it happen. We'll make it do what it do. Till next time, take care. Bye.